Today on the All About Affordable NFTs, we're talking about a bit of a holiday episode, a very NFT Christmas. Specifically, when will NFTs be a thing? Andrew, how's it going? Happy holidays.
Happy holidays, yeah. Are they not a thing yet? I thought they were here.
I think NFTs are a thing. We made a podcast about it, remember?
I thought this was all about a very NFT Christmas, because it's finally an NFT Christmas, but maybe we're not quite there yet. I guess we'll have to get into it.
It's NFTs and Christmas, not NFTs for Christmas. The question, as we get into our theme, we'll break it down when they're actual gifts. But first off, do you see any interesting news out there?
Yeah, what's going on out there? I've got a project up for us, but I don't want to get into that quite yet. I did notice that Shopify just launched a NFT. They're going to enable sellers to sell NFTs via Shopify now. So making it even easier for people to launch and actually do it on their own platforms, which I think is very interesting. I've worked with Shopify a lot in the past and always impressed with the product, but also like that they gave an option for people to sell on their own domain as opposed to selling through just another marketplace where they don't get to brand themselves. So I think that's very similar to what we've seen where everybody sells through OpenSea for the most part. So this will give people places to sell on their own domain. So interesting to see. I haven't played around with it much, but Shopify's got a lot of customers, and I'm sure that they are a lot of customers being sellers, and that I'm sure that a lot of them would love to get into the NFT game.
Yeah, that could be pretty huge, at least, you know, allowing the real goods and digital goods to be sold alongside in that sense, and trackable. Super interesting. Well, this is a kind of random one, but White Castle is getting into NFTs. It's, I'm pretty sure, the first fast food company to wander on in and deliver the Slideverse. I'm not going to go too far into it, but you can check it out if you want to go get some digital burgers, I suppose.
Not so sure that's even the first one. I believe McDonald's did something with the McRib back in November.
Oh, the riblets. Yeah, the McRib NFT. Sorry. Yeah, that's right. Maybe so, the first one to create a Slideverse.
Thank goodness. We've all been waiting. Finally.
And then I had a follow on because we did talk about Ghost Recon and how they were rolling out NFTs. And it doesn't seem like the gamers have really bit on it. It is rather middling and on that Tezos platform. And it's not doing well. I don't know how to fully quantify it.
It's interesting. It seems like that was sort of what happened when a lot of these gaming companies tried to get into the tokenized sort of games back in maybe 2017-18. Gamers didn't seem to take to it well then, and I think they've been hesitant to get into it. So interesting that it isn't working so well once again.
Yeah, well, you know, I think there is a real rift between classic old school gamers, calling gamers old school, but frankly, Web 2 gamers versus Web 3. And you see it on Discord as well, where the community sort of rejects the integration of NFTs into a pre-existing piece. And, you know, I think that if you mix oil and water in the wrong way at the wrong temperature, bad things happen. All right, Andrew, do you have an affordable project for us this week?
Yeah, I do have something for us. And we'll have to take a look at the current floor, but it is called the Party Bear Collection. And it is a bunch of partying bears, of course. It's 9,669 randomly generated bears. I minted a couple of these. It came across my radar when I saw some other collectors that I follow were minting this one, and I noticed that a lot of them had a pre-sale access, and so I was watching it as it started minting, and whoo, did gas spike on this one. People were after this one. I mentioned it to you too, and somehow we both got a transaction through, but it wasn't easy. People were really trying to mint these quickly, so they're holding, let's see, at a little I guess just above the, a little bit above the floor plus the gas, the mint plus the gas price. Now they're at 0.185. And I believe they minted at 0.09 and gas, you know, if you really had to hit it, was probably up to 0.06 or so, for a total of 0.15. So they would still be a little bit above that right now. I haven't been super active in the Discord. I did know, I did see that there's a lot going on there. I haven't been on top of it all that much since they minted. I'm waiting to see what they do announce. And, you know, so I think they minted out even faster than they anticipated. And, people are excited, of course, and waiting to see what's next. What have you seen with these, George?
Yeah. So again, that popped up in our Discord. If you're able to join, and
that's right,
apply to join our Discord, the exclusive Discord where we find interesting things. It popped up because, one, for me, it became interesting that it had a pre-existing team that had launched a successful, and they call it Fluff.World project.
That's right,
That important. Actually floats out there with a 1.2 ETH floor. So there is, and it's a similar style of art, I'd say, projects that already exist out there, but with bunnies. So this is with bears. I think the art is unique in that sense. It's very, very digitally rendered, I'd say. And there is a music element that caught my attention, because I do think music is going to be another big phase in addition to play to earn coming in 2022. And they have customizable elements. The team doesn't take themselves too seriously. And you'll immediately see when you read anything on partybear.xyz, and it is building on a pre-existing community. Again,
that's a good point that they have put out another project, and that project, not that they put that project out, but that the collectors continue to hold that at a pretty strong price and took advantage of the fact that they had those pieces and had the opportunity to mint before people that didn't hold those. And I think that was a good sign to me that they had minted over half of them before the pre-sale was open. So you figured that there wasn't a huge supply left, and it did go fast. They do seem to have some ideas of some things that they could do with music here too. So that could be interesting to see in the new year. Seems like maybe I'm checking out the Discord a bit, and it does seem like they were taking a bit of time after the launch. And I'm sure they'll have some news coming soon.
Yeah. The other thing I liked is the commercial rights. It's been kind of a bigger issue. More and more you've seen arguments in the CryptoPunk community and frustration with, wait a minute, what do I actually own in terms of rights? They're like, you own this, full stop. Also, you have access to a fully rigged 3D model of the actual character, which means potentially metaverse play as well. So I'm trying to pay attention to, I'd say, similar to Meebits, right, where you've got a hypothetical figure that could be loaded and coded into varying metaverses.
Yeah. I think that's, you know, I think we'll see these things start to come. You know, we started to see them in some worlds like World Wide Web. I know has been integrating with a lot of projects, but more in a 2D world. And I think we'll start to see it come to fruition more in some of these 3D worlds. Hopefully, at least as these platforms start to launch the long promised games.
Yeah. And the final piece is customization. It seems like they're going to be allowing, you know, various ways that you can swap out backgrounds and clothing and stuff, similar to taking a page from Mooncats. And I don't know, could be interesting.
Yeah. One other thing that I think is interesting about this project is that it minted on the same day as the Adidas project. It was a couple hours later. Well, actually, it ended up being 1 hour later. Adidas had some issues with their minting and pushed theirs back a bit. And that's Party Bear's, As they said, they were nice enough to let Adidas have that time and were graciously slid theirs back by an hour. But I haven't looked at the numbers. I think it's probably a fairly different set of wallets that are holding the two. I'm sure there is some overlap there, but I think it kind of gave people an opportunity to get into another project or at least hopefully, or tried to give people an opportunity to get another project. It ended up not being all that many people that were able to get into it, but after maybe missing out on Adidas that really but also was quite the gas war and quite limited in who was able to actually get into it.
So I actually have a counter narrative on that around the fact that it happened with Adidas, and Adidas just, you know, a drop like that can suck the oxygen out of the room. And what does that actually mean? Like in sales, 46 million. I'm looking at Adidas originals have transacted since then, you know, is where we're recording it. And what I thought actually was that we kind of stole a lot of the attention that probably a drop would have had on the same day, which is maybe how we were able to like get in and on the mint, because so many people had already like burned out their ETH and their gas and their energy on Adidas. And I think it was also, you know, a huge tip of the hat to the Party Bear folks to actually say like, actually, you know, it would be fair to the community to not launch at the same time and hose people on gas. Because remember, everyone's trying to drive down the same two-lane highway. It just drives up the intensity of gas prices. So I thought that was a classy move by
that's a good point. And I think it's impressive that they have been able to, that they were able to mint out quickly. The price is sustained when so much volume is going to Adidas and a couple of big drops. And that has really sucked out a lot of the liquidity from other projects, I would say.
I always think of that, right? When one of these projects is kind of going bananas and taking up that oxygen, like what else is launching that is actually the real alpha out there and overshadowing it? But it's also good to see a project that exists now above its mint. You know, there's always the thing in the back of your mind when you can't beat your own mint price, you're like, ugh.
Yep, that's a good point. Yeah, there's many cases where it feels like you'd be better off waiting. Otherwise, you're really just hoping for a really rare piece in that minting, but doesn't always come anyway.
I have,
you know, in fact, the odds are against you.
I can tell you the odds. Here's the rarity score. Huzzah. Anyway, again, full disclosure, not financial advice. We're talking about digital bears, and also both Andrew and I own at least one or multiple of these, probably as you're hearing this recording. Shall we move into our theme? Thanks for bringing that
up. Yeah, I think so. I think this fits well with what we were just discussing, actually.
Okay.
We're getting into NFT Christmas, though, of course.
Christmas themes. All righty. So here's how I'll frame this. Right now, yes, NFTs are super popular, and it's Christmas time. The number of people giving NFTs to each other is low. By the way, thank you for your gift of the moon pop. It's deeply appreciated.
There we go.
You may get a horse just dropped on you. So here's the question, right? We're exchanging gifts. We wrap them in packages. There's a whole tradition. There is a whole cultural normalcy to the way we do this. Now, the question is, when will be the Christmas, the holiday season, when it will be normal-ish to be sending an NFT gift? Maybe I'll make it more concrete. 10% of gifts are actually NFTs being sent. At what point in the future, just to speculate, or what would have happened to get us there, do you think?
Well, I think we'd have to start kind of like, what's our closest thing to a digital gift right now? And it's probably digital gift cards and just gift cards in general. That's probably the closest thing that we have to giving an NFT. You know, I think those are, they become very popular. I believe that I don't know any numbers at the top of my head, but I know that the popularity of gift cards has gone up dramatically over the past few years as online shopping just becomes more popular. Now, I could see some of that shifting to NFTs when you start thinking, well, you know, a lot of people don't feel like it's necessarily a personal gift to give a gift card. You know, it can be obviously very flexible, but it isn't always the personal gift. Where an NFT, you know, you could say it's a one of one. It could be a one of very something of something small, and really doesn't have to, depending on, you know, where it's coming from, doesn't have to cost a lot, especially as we get to other platforms rather than maybe always counting on the Ethereum network, where it does cost $100. You can do it in other places where it doesn't cost a lot, and maybe be able to send these, or maybe they even coincide with gift cards in some way. I mean, I can certainly see that. We've seen companies getting into this more and more, and I think we could definitely see an iteration of gift cards with NFTs. There's a lot of digital spending already, and I think just shifting that a little bit to NFTs isn't crazy to think. It would be interesting to me to see more about how much is really spent in digital gift cards at this point. But I don't know, as far as the, you mentioned the idea of like wrapping the, we're so used to wrapping gifts and having that as part of it. Do you see a way that we can sort of make this part of a real life experience?
I think your corollary to gift cards is spot on. Top line numbers, show that it seems like it's an industry. Gift cards, digital gift cards, have increased around 7% year over year, tracking at least by some research for the past 10 years. Roughly 60%, according to SaveMyCent.com, 60% of all purchased gift cards are digital. However, there was also a huge average physical gift card drop by 7% in 2020. So maybe even accelerated some of that digital gift giving and jumped us forward in that world. But like, you're exactly right. Like, how different is it when you get a card to buy digital goods, to the iTunes Apple store, right? In that play market, you're like, oh my gosh, great. I can go buy a skin for my avatar. And, the rise of Oculus, the rise of these digital ecosystems, like how different is it than buying a video game? Maybe it's not that far off. To your point about wrapping though, I think NBA Top Shot absolutely nailed and set the standard for what the experience can be for an unboxing, an unwrapping of cards that deliver that type of dopamine hit. And I'm like very deliberate in terms of that. What happens when you open a gift is a triggering in your brain of surprise, joy, elation that releases dopamine. That's why if I show you a picture of a present, you will get excited, right? How can you mimic that? And I think, you were early on Top Shot and you've actually, I happen to know your kids really enjoy unwrapping some of those packs.
Yeah, I mean, it is one of the things that really got me excited about NFTs initially was the opening experience. It was cool that when you unwrap these and it's exciting to the build up to it when you open each card and then they have the music play and a video go. And, we've talked about how, they really nailed it and brought a lot of people in because it was a great experience. And I think you're right that that's probably the type of experience that we need to bring with more NFTs so that it's exciting when you're getting it. A lot of them aren't there. I think we've seen some, I know we've seen some iterations of hardware that can, display NFTs. I think that'll be a big part of it. Things like infinite objects that have the NFTs like loaded in them and can just play them anytime are cool. But I also think that you probably have to get to places where you can replace the NFTs more often and have these things feel like they're not just living, maybe in your computer or on your phone. You've got to be able to display them more like a picture and, have people kind of be excited about it when they first get it.
Yeah. One more gift card stat. This is shocking. I'm so funny you turned me on to this here. The global gift certificate market, which maybe is different than gift card, but gift certificate essentially, was $295 billion in 2020. There's a lot of money. There's a lot of money people are sending digitally to each other. I'll also say one of the narratives and cultural shifts that will have to happen in order for mass adoption, in order to be giving gifts of actual NFTs or even sort of, let's say, OpenSea gift cards. Hint out there for platforms, right? Like that happens pretty quick. One of the shifts that are going to have to happen is the move from proof of work to proof of stake. You will essentially be needing to be environmentally friendly, conscious, and making sure that you're not somehow offending somebody you're giving a gift to, because their perception of an NFT is that it's wasteful energy. Mind you, the irony of handing somebody that gift that was made in China, shipped across the entire freaking earth using petroleum-based products to create it, aside, the narrative on giving gift of NFT will have to be softened by, is this on a, I know this is super in the weeds, but I'm thinking of things that would have to happen. Move to a proof of stake and a concept and comprehension that NFTs are not just all bad for environment. Stop thinking now.
Yeah, maybe we'll need a little, maybe with these gifts have to have a little outline of the arguments against NFTs are bad for the environment.
So it comes with a little an extra card.
Start spreading some more awareness, and you know, maybe it you can plant a tree along with the gift, and you know, try to spin this into a good thing as a awareness campaign that NFTs are actually great for the environment, and here's seven reasons why.
Yeah. I mean, if you really think about it, the irony is almost palpable. I mean, I love my annual pears that come from Harry and David are incredibly thoughtful, and I definitely eat them, but it does dawn on me how far those poor pears had to travel to get to me. And, you know, if you talk about, again, metaverse as a point in time versus a point in space or a point in Mark Zuckerberg's backyard, as a point in time, I'd say there are that moment where we're valuing digital goods at that level, where actually, like, I live in a postage stamp. I don't have a place for more stuff, but my digital wallet seems to be able to expand and give me access to new communities and experiences digitally that we will prize more and more. I just think it'll be interesting, you know, at that point. And it just got me thinking when I'm looking at a pile of presents as they exist now and watching that percentage shift over time.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's, you know, I think it is, like you've talked about with the metaverse, when we value these digital goods more than physical goods, that's when it really, we start to see a bigger shift. And we know some people especially seem to really value these digital goods. Looking at myself.
All right. Those are all my show notes for a very NFT Christmas. And when will NFT gifts be a thing?
All right. Well, good chatting, George. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you. I got to go pick out a horse for you. All right.